Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning to you. 909 on KDXU. How are you today? I'm Andy Griffin, and it's a little bit of an overcast day today, but yeah, we're going to get a few scattered showers today. Much cooler tomorrow. With about a 70% chance of rain. So we'll go mid-70s today and then low 60s tomorrow. I'm wondering what it's going to be like in Enterprise. With me via the telephone is Brandon Humphreys, who is the mayor of Enterprise City this morning on Mayor Thursday. Hi, Brandon. How are you?
Very good. How are you this morning, Andy?
I'm great. Are you good? It's not going to snow up there this weekend, is it?
I don't think so, but you know, in our country, we've always been susceptible to snow clear up until about the 1st of June, I think, is as late as it snowed up here.
Yeah, it happened.
It has happened before, you bet. But it's a beautiful sunshiny day. We've got sunshine and a few clouds in the sky, but it's beautiful up here today.
Now, Enterprise, for those that don't know, Enterprise is what, with about 40 miles, 43 miles, something like that from St. George?
Yes, sir, depending on what part of St. George you're at anymore. It could be 50 miles if you're on the far side, but on the north side of Bluff Street, you're about 44 miles, yep.
And the elevation of Enterprise is 5,318 feet, which means they have a little bit different climate than does St. George in July and August when we're at 110. Enterprise is in the 90s, I guess. Is that about right?
That's about right, yep. We're 10 to 15 degrees cooler in the summertime and about 40 degrees colder in the wintertime.
Ooh, and you do get some snow, which is fine. You know, it's funny because, you know, I've lived in Washington County now for almost 30 years, but I have not lived in Enterprise. I've lived in Hurricane and St. George and Washington. I've lived all around this area. I have not lived in Enterprise, but there are a lot of people, Brandon, that tell me, man, I miss the four seasons because St. George really... We have cool and we have hot, and that's just about it in St. George. But Enterprise, you guys actually have four seasons, right?
We definitely have the four seasons. Yeah, we definitely have the four seasons. And for those who enjoy the four seasons, this is a beautiful place to live. In fact, it's one of the only places in Washington County that has that. So we're tucked in the top northwest corner of the county, and it's kind of nice to be tucked in that little corner.
Now, Enterprise is, we mentioned, 44 miles from Bluff Street here. What about to Cedar? Is it about 40 miles to Cedar as well?
About the same. Yep, about the same. In fact, if you leave here at the same time going the same speed, it would take you roughly the same amount of time to get to Cedar as it would to St. George.
Would you say the average person who wants to go to town for, you know, you got to do a big grocery run and spend $300 on groceries, would you do more of your folks go to St. George or Cedar City?
Most of our folks go to St. George just because of the variety that's available.
Right.
Yeah, St. George still has a few more shops. Of course, you know, Costco's in St. George and Cedar doesn't have a Costco.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big draws. We're always been accustomed, where we're part of Washington County, we've always been accustomed to that. Back in the olden days, anywhere below the Iron County line, you were from Dixie, and we're below the Iron County line, so we consider Dixie to be our St. George. We call it Dixie, and Enterprise, that's what we still call Dixie. That's where we go.
Yeah, you're Washington County. That's right. We love that.
Now,
I had heard you guys had not too far from town a fatality out there. Somebody rolled a truck last week or something. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, I do. Very unfortunate circumstances there. One of a young man who went to high school here. He rolled his truck and unfortunately sustained life. It took his life, and it was a very unfortunate circumstance there.
So that was an Enterprise, someone from Enterprise that actually died in that crash, huh?
That was, yes. And he was just outside of, in fact, he was still within the city limits, just headed towards Cedar City. And just a very unfortunate situation.
It's obviously very sad when anyone passes away. But if someone were to die in an accident in St. George, you know, population 100,000, you know, it hurts. And when you're part of the family group or friend group of that person, it hurts. But when someone from a town like Enterprise, which has a population just over 2,000, passes away, that one, you really feel that, don't you, in a community like that?
especially when it's a young person like that. Not that every life doesn't matter, but obviously those who have lived a prosperous life, everybody passes on from this life to the next, regardless of what you think. That's what happens. But when it's a young person in a tragic accident, it definitely has an effect, and it's a pretty somber feeling around our community right now.
Yeah, sorry.
They're going to have a service, I understand, in Vail for this young man, and going to bury him in Gunlock and next to his grandmother, and that will be a sad event happening this weekend, and it's a pretty somber feeling around our community right now.
Yeah, understandably so for sure. Again, we're talking with Brandon Humphreys, mayor of Enterprise City. You guys had the big Corn Fest. A lot of people maybe make one trip a year to Enterprise, and it happens to come in usually in August, right around the Corn Fest. Tell us about that.
So the corn, it's a real good time of the year because everybody's kind of tired of the heat from St. George, and that's just when our temperatures are starting to kind of taper off a little bit. It's in the fall time of the year. That's when the harvest comes in, and that's obviously just when our local corn here is at its peak, and we have a big event that day. It's a Saturday. It's usually the third Saturday in August, and I'm not sure the exact date, but it's pretty close to that. Look for flyers around. You'll see them posted here shortly, but it's a big event. There's all kinds of booths and food booths and a big fundraiser for a lot of the youth groups in town. And you can come and get a lot of corn that day, and that's the biggest thing, obviously, that it's known for.
Yeah, I can tell you, I can personally testify that you will not taste a sweeter bite of corn than you get at the Enterprise Corn Fest. It's good stuff, Mayor. I love it.
Absolutely. You bet.
Now, I was looking some stuff up, and maybe you can address this. Home values, obviously, in St. George have gotten just ludicrous. Median home value is like $500,000 in St. George. It's not that bad. I mean, it's worse than it used to be in Enterprise, but according to a website I found on real estate in Enterprise, the median home value is $264,000. That is... Although, 15, 20 years ago, that's like, well, that's a lot of it, but that's reasonable compared to here.
That is correct. And we've experienced a substantial amount of growth in the last several years, obviously with this last year, with interest rates being what they are and home prices being as high as they are, it's slowed down just a touch for us, but not to the extent that it has in other places. But we're finding a lot of the youth that grew up here, people who have a tight Enterprise, have wanted to move back home, even if they don't work here.
That's awesome.
A lot of our residents work outside of our community, but they choose to live here for the hometown feeling that it is for the raising their kids and the environment that they're in. And we hope to keep it that way. And obviously, as you well know, with growth comes all the other stuff that goes with it. And there's pluses and minuses to all of that, but we hope to have a reasonable amount of growth to keep us sustained in what we're doing.
It's an interesting phenomenon because when you're 16, 17, 18, you can't wait to get out of small town, right? I mean, I got to get out and see the world or whatever.
Absolutely.
And then after a few years, you're like, oh, I want to go back.
Yeah, I want to raise my kids there. Even though I hated it, I want to raise my kids there because they see the value in it and they don't understand. Most of us that grew up in a small community don't understand what it's like to live in a large community. So the friends that I had in St. George when I was a kid, they all wanted to grow up in Gunlock, and I wanted to grow up in St. George because I wanted to be in the big life. And boy, I was so wrong, so wrong.
We learn the hard way sometimes.
Absolutely.
I can tell you this. So my wife and I moved to St. George area back in the mid-90s. 94 actually was the year we first put down our anchor. And back then, St. George had like 33,000 people, which is not small town, but it's relatively small town compared to what it is now. And we found ourselves in recent times, my wife and I, going, it'd be kind of nice to have small town again. It'd be kind of nice. And my wife says, is there somewhere close that we could go that we could still get the small town, but still have access to, some of the big, like you mentioned, Costco and things like that. And I told her, I said, Enterprise is pretty nice. And she said, oh, but snow. So
the good thing about it is, though, Andy, when we're later on in life like you and I and your wife are, you don't have to go out in it. So just stay inside and sit
right
by the fireplace and enjoy yourself. You don't. This is the wonderful thing about our community right now with the facilities and the amenities that we have here now. I don't have to leave my community unless it's a crisis. So we have a doctor's, we have an on-staff doctor that's here in town. We have a dentist that's here in town. We have a grocery store, a pharmacy, a hardware store. We have the necessities of life here. So you don't have to leave the community if you don't want to, unless you have a health situation that requires you to leave the community. And so on those days that the weather is adverse, there's nothing more enjoyable than sitting in a nice warm house or a home and looking out the window at the snow flying outside. It's that there's a certain amount of peace that comes with that, and I'm glad that certain people don't see that the way I do, because that's why they live where they live and I live where I live.
You know, I remember in high school, and this was a long time ago, folks, in the 80s, but I remember there was a band I really liked. They were Canadian. They were called a band called Triumph, and they were not popular. I loved every one of their songs. To me, it was like, well, I don't understand why people don't like this thing. But it was weird. I had this desire, because I liked this band and they weren't popular, that they would get popular. I wanted everybody to have, you know, a little piece of this band that I loved. And I don't know why, because they ended up having like a number one hit, and all of a sudden everybody, oh, I love Triumph. I love Triumph. And I was like, wait a minute. No, that's my band. I imagine living in a place like Enterprise is similar. You have this great place. You want people to know how great it is, but also you don't really want them to discover Enterprise, right? And move it. I mean, you don't want Enterprise to be 20 or 30 or 40,000 people, right?
Without a doubt. We want to keep the hometown feeling that as long as we possibly can. Understanding that people will go, you know, where they can go. The freedoms that exist within our country that allow people to go where they want to go, I understand. But as long as we can keep it as small as we can, we want to keep it that way.
Yeah, I don't blame you there. Will you talk a little bit about crime and your police force there in Enterprise? I mean, obviously, with the population less than 3,000, crime is probably not a big factor.
Surprisingly, I just barely this morning got an updated report from the Washington County Sheriff's Office, and I haven't even had a chance to look through it yet, that tells of all of the events that have happened with the Sheriff's Department. And as you well know, we do not have our own police force here in Enterprise. We contract with Washington County Sheriff's Office to provide a certain amount of hours to our community, as well as, since we are part of the county, they provide some assistance as well. But our crime rate as of the last 5 years has been very, very small. We have the same petty stuff that every small community has, but for the most part, we're fortunate, very fortunate, to have a very low rate compared to the population around us, especially for those other small towns that exist in Utah.
Is because you don't have your own police force, are citizens satisfied with the response time and things like that when it comes to crime? Is that adequate?
For the most part, it is. But as you well know, Andy, if somebody is in a crisis, dialing 911, you cannot get there fast enough,
right,
even if you're right at the front door. And with a realistic time frame, we have several deputies that live right within our community. And so if there's a crisis that happens, most of the time, our response time is no different than anywhere else within the county. For instance, this accident that took place that we talked about earlier, the first person on scene was one of the county deputies that live within our community. And he was off duty with his wife driving down the road, and they were the first persons on scene within just a minute or so of that accident. That's the type of people that we have living within our community. And so our response times are not what you would expect for the distance that we live outside of St. George.
That's good. What about fire and ambulance? Do you have your own volunteer fire department, or how does that work?
We do have our own fire and EMS department that's run under the direction of the city. And I'm going to brag for just a minute on our fire and EMS community that lives here. I'm going to say that we have the very best within the county, and I would say within the state of Utah. There's still that sense of volunteerism that exists within our community, and so we have a full-time, we have one full-time person who works within our, as our fire chief and as our EMS director. And we have one employee that works for the city who most of his time is spent within the fire and EMS area of our city. But all of the rest of it is run with volunteers, and our response times are as good, if not better, than anywhere else in the Western United States when it comes to our fire and EMS response. They're trained well. We have people who are very passionate about what they do there, and it sure is nice to have that feeling of volunteerism, and that's what your small community does for you as a group, is it helps with people being concerned about other individuals within their community.
That is good to hear, and I know that's got to be peace of mind for your citizens. Hey, we got a caller on the line. Dale wants to talk to the mayor of Enterprise. Dale, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Mayor, I want to let you know I appreciate what you do, but I have my daughter, her family live up there, and she has four boys and a girl of a year older in a couple more days. But I go up there. In fact, I'm going up there tonight to watch a baseball game for my grandsons. They're playing a baseball game up there. But I know you do a good job. You were the only one that didn't shut it down during the COVID. I appreciate that. I haven't forgot my city yet. We're shutting the city down, St. George. But you do a good job up there, and my kids, my daughter's family are very happy up there. They enjoy it. Even though, by the way, I got a deer on the way down a couple years ago. But anyway, they like it up there. They like the snow. They like all the things that are going on up there, the corn fest and all those things. But, so you're doing a good job there. I let you know I do appreciate what you do to keep people up there happy.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate that. That's cool, huh, Brandon?
That's nice. That's nice to hear, Andy. Because most of the time you get broadsided with stuff that needs to be attended. So it's nice to have those kind of positive comments. So thank you, Dale.
Yeah, that was very kind. And again, anybody that spent any time in Enterprise knows it. It's you're not faking it. It's small town America, but it's exactly what you would expect from small town America. You know, you don't. I love Enterprise. If I could get my wife over the snow thing, I we might end up there with you, Brent. I don't know if there's any homes for sale in your neighborhood, but of course I got to do this whole radio thing for a couple more years. But anyway, we love
you. You'd be surprised with modern technology. You can do that right from the comforts of your own home as well. So
yeah, I'd have to build a studio, yeah, but maybe so. Yeah,
absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
We're talking with Brandon Humphreys, mayor of Enterprise, Utah. And first of all, Brandon, I want to ask about your health. I know you went through some health struggles last year. Are you close to 100% now?
Well, I'm as close. I think I'm as close as I'm going to be. It's been about 2 years. In fact, a year ago today, we were just getting out of the hospital up to Salt Lake. And I've been very fortunately blessed this last year with great recovery, and yes, finally, I wouldn't say back to 100% yet, but I don't know if I'll ever be back to what I consider to be 100%. I'm not running any marathons anytime soon, but very fortunate to have a little bit of strength back and on the upward trend.
Yeah, having spent a little time in the hospital myself, I'm like, you know what? I'll take 90. 90% is pretty good. That's good enough with me.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, there was 82 days that we spent in the hospital over that 365 day period. So we're grateful to be where we're at for sure.
And I hate to turn this into a brag fest. I had 52 doctor visits in 52 weeks in 2022. You know, it wasn't in the hospital as long as you, but we saw a lot of doctors, and I found out that the truth of the matter is, first of all, kudos to all our doctors and nurses out there. They do a great job, but they are practicing medicine. They don't have it down to a specific science just yet. So
I will agree with what you just said. I'm appreciative of what I've got, but it is still in practice for sure.
We've got about 2 minutes before a break. I wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of things. Okay, so tell me if it's worth the trip from Enterprise. If you're going to go to Zion National Park or, say, a car show in Hurricane, is it worth the trip driving from Enterprise?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
We live in the most beautiful land in the world, in my opinion, and it all exists within what, an hour and a half or 2 hours of a drive from Enterprise.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the area that we live in. I'll give you just one example. We were doing a little project with our city. And we'll go into this a little bit further on in the show with the train that we just received into town. But there was a couple that were here on their 40th wedding anniversary. They had flown from Belgium to the United States, and they flew into Los Angeles, bought a motorcycle, not a street bike, but an on-road, off-road bike, and they were driving the Western United States. And they came up through Las Vegas first, and they came here to Enterprise on their way to one of the national parks. And I couldn't understand exactly which national park they were going to. But driving into Vegas, they said, no, Vegas isn't for us. There's too much bling there, they said. But they got here and spent an hour with us there and said this is the part of the country that they love the most because it's so open from what they're used to. And and realistically, with the area that we live in, I mean, you go to St. George and you see the Red Rocks, you see Pine Valley in the background, Zion National Park, you've got Bryce Canyon, you've got the Grand Canyon. You've got so much beauty right here within such a close proximity to us and weather. You can be from the snow to the, you know, to 70 degrees in St. George during the wintertime within a one-hour drive. There's just not a lot of places in the world that are as good as we are.
I agree, Brandon. We're going to take a commercial break, a little weather break here, Brandon, if that's okay with you. And we're going to continue Worth the Trip. We're playing a game Worth the Trip with the mayor of Enterprise City. And we're also going to get a little bit of talk about some politics. And Brandon has some pretty strong feelings. We'll get into those a little bit as well. Right now, let's check weather on the Andy Griffin Show.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. It's 9:35 on KDXU. I'm with Brandon Humphreys. Well, sort of. We're electronically together. He's on the telephone with me. Hi, Brandon. You doing okay?
Absolutely.
Thanks for being on the show. Appreciate you. All right, we're playing a little bit of Worth the Trip from Enterprise. Is it worth the trip to go to a restaurant in St. George or Cedar City on a regular basis?
On a regular basis, it's all a matter of opinion, right?
Yeah, oh, for
we've
sure.
We've got two restaurants here in town. So we've got Marv's, as anybody who's ever been to town knows Marv's.
Love Marv's.
And we also have the cafe that's out just on Main Street there as well. That is a dining restaurant. And so, in my opinion, I don't know that you need to go outside of the community, but for a variety, if you want something different on the menu, I guess it's worth the drive.
By the way, I was at Corn Fest last year and, of course, stopped at Marv's to get a burger and a shake. And we're sitting there in the restaurant and a couple of guys walk in with, and I kid you not, Brandon, cowboy hats, cowboy boots, the whole, you know, the jeans and everything. And they were both wearing holsters with sidearms. Open carry. And I was like, okay, first of all, that's perfectly legal. But again, I almost felt like I was transported back in time, like it was, you know, 1890 and not 2023 at the time. So
there's not very many days that go by that you won't drive down Main Street and see trucks and horse trailers parked at the cafe and at Marv's to get something to eat on their way either to or from the outlying areas. And there's still a lot of ranching that goes on outside of Enterprise and right in town for that matter. But it's not a show. These people that you see with boots and hats on and carrying a sidearm, that's for protection as well. And not from people, but from predators and from occasionally you'll encounter an animal that is suffering from a broken leg or something like that will need to be put down. I know it's a controversial issue, but there's rattlesnakes, there's all kinds of predators for your livestock that you protect your animals with. And so if you were to pull those firearms out of the holsters, they're not just brand new play toys. Those are guns that have been packed for a long time, and they're used to protect our livestock as well as our way of life.
And by the way, there's bears and wolves up in them there hills as well. So,
well, we hope not bears and wolves, but there's definitely coyotes and mountain lions for sure.
All right, worth it. How far is Vail from Enterprise?
About 18 miles.
Is it worth the trip to go get a slice of Vail pie?
Sure,
absolutely. Okay,
Vail, absolutely. Vail pies is we stop at Vail pies and. It's definitely worth it to stop by and either get a pie from there I'm trying to think of the last time I was there. I think I got a pot pie for lunch and
oh, nice.
A chicken pot pie, and it was good. And they've got a pizza shop there called Slice of Pie or Slice of Vail, I think is what it's called. And they've got a good variety there. And oftentimes when we're on our way home from down south, we'll stop there and grab something on our way home as well.
My wife's boss, my wife works over at Washington City. Her boss has made a tradition every year of getting a lemon sour cream pie from Vail Pies and giving it to her for Christmas. And I think she probably eats some of it, but I'm going to be honest, most of it, I usually eat most of it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't feel bad about admitting that myself.
All right. Is it worth it to catch a play or a concert at Tuacon, to drive from Enterprise to Tuacon?
You've hit me in a subject, Andy, that I just don't get a lot of. I'm not one who really goes, but I've been to Tuacon before, and I love the scenery. I love the environment, and it is by far, in my opinion, very nice to have that kind of a facility and that kind of an option open to the community members. I know there's a lot of people in our community who do go. And I definitely would, if you haven't been or if you have gone, I would definitely suggest going. It's definitely worth going, if nothing else, just to see the environment that it sits in, because it's a place that's unlike any other that you've ever been to.
Just got another text, by the way. I also heard that Brandon is a good mayor, too, from some people I know that live close by. Good job. Keep up the good work. Hey, way to go, Brandon. You got people singing your praises. That's awesome.
It's nice to have that in our world that we live in today, for sure.
Well, and most politicians, it seems like they're usually people only chime in when they want to take the politician's name in vain. So it's good to have some people complimenting you. Okay, what about Mesquite? Is it worth a trip to go to Mesquite? You say you got a night stay in Mesquite, or you want to, some people like to gamble. Is it worth a trip?
There again, that's one of those things that I go to Mesquite. I go to Mesquite for family events occasionally, and I go there on my way to Las Vegas, but... yes, it's worth the trip. You can go down U-18 to Vail and slip down through Gunlock and up over Old 91 and go to Mesquite. If that's what you like to do, it's, what is it, 2 hours from Enterprise to Mesquite.
Okay.
At the most, and it's a beautiful drive, particularly in the winter if you're like your wife and don't like the snow. In an hour and a half to 2 hours, you can be down in warm weather golfing or gambling or staying the night in Mesquite. Absolutely. Absolutely worth it.
We're talking with Brandon Humphreys, mayor of Enterprise. Now, Enterprise High School won state in basketball just a couple of months ago. That was pretty cool.
Yes, they did. We've got quite a tradition of competition within our community. Our baseball and softball, girls softball team has been very strong the last few years. Our mm-hmm. basketball team, as you said, won the state championship this last year. And that's not the first time, and I hope it's not the last that we've taken that championship. Our little league and our junior leagues are very strong. We've got a very good athletic program within our community. We've got an awesome director in our athletics department within our city as well as in our school system, and it shows with the success that our youth have. And if you ask, this is one of the things that I'm grateful that the community still supports and that our city council still supports. But one of the traditions that we have within our community is when the kids win a state championship, no matter if it's the 5-year-olds or if it's the teenagers, they get to come into town and choose what night they get to ride the fire truck around the community.
Nice.
And so we pile them all on the fire engine and take them around town, and I remember last year when the girls won the softball championship, it was raining. It was torrential rain that day. And these girls still, when they got into town, it was after the sun had gone down, and they still wanted to ride the fire engine. So we're going around town, and it's just pouring rain, and these kids are having a ball riding the fire engine around town and celebrating the win. So the entire community gets involved in that, and it's just neat to see.
This would have been, what, May, I guess, or so, when they won softball. So probably wasn't too cold, at least, just wet.
It was wet. It was actually, when the sun goes down in May and you're wet and you're driving around on a fire truck, it's cold, too.
It's cold.
It's cold, too, but, yeah. But what a fun thing. What a fun thing for the kids to be able to enjoy. And like I said, the entire community can participate with them in the celebration of that.
Do you know, ballpark, about how big Enterprise High School is? And does that include, like, what grade does Enterprise High School start? Is it like seven grades in it, or is it just four or three?
It's 7 through 12, so I can't count that many on one hand, can I? So 7th grade through 12th grade go to the high school. And I don't know the exact enrollment right now. I do know that we take in communities as far south as Vail, Gunlock. I know we have a few students from Diamond Valley who come up to Enterprise to school, and I'm not sure the exact enrollment there. I know at one time the graduating class was like 17 kids, and I know it's a lot more than that now, but I couldn't tell you exactly how many students are enrolled in our high school. I should be better about that, but I don't at this point.
I was in a fairly small town when I was in middle school in Texas, but then we moved to Utah and we moved into the Bingham High School boundaries. Bingham at the time had 3,000 students, and they formed that first year after I was a freshman, they formed West Jordan High School, and still the graduating classes were in the neighborhood of 400 to 600 kids by the time I graduated. So it's easy to get lost in a situation, you know, a situation like that, big giant school. So I feel like, you know, as much as kids rail against small schools and small town, oh, there's nothing to do, and it's the same old people and the same old teachers and the same, there's definitely, Brandon, something to be said for small school education.
So there's two events that we've had in the last week and that we've involved the high school kids. One, we put together, we had a train that we brought in from St. George that was brought in by Matt Clark, and we had our high school welding kids come up and weld that train together. That's just something that kids in the larger schools, even within Washington County, don't get the opportunity to do. Yesterday, I had a couple of high school students that were, I don't know if they were seniors or juniors, but they took a boat that they had fixed up and made the motor run, and they wanted to try it out, and they were trolling around on our little park pond. And those are the types of things that kids have the opportunity to do within our community that larger schools and larger communities just don't have. The kids can ride their dirt bikes or their four-wheelers from home out into the hills to ride. There's fishing within a walk of most people's homes. All of those types of things are available for the youth. So, yeah, there's some things that they can't do, but there's a lot of things that they can do that a lot of kids don't have the opportunity to do.
Now, you piqued my interest with this whole train thing. Tell me, I mean, clearly it can't be a train on railroad tracks since we don't have those here in St. George. And I don't think, there's not railroad.
Oh, it's a train on railroad tracks.
Really?
It just doesn't go very far.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It just doesn't go very far. Yeah. Yeah.
And they.
So this is the. This is the Dixie Express. It was built by a sculptor that lives down in Diamond Valley who grew up here in Enterprise.
Okay.
He grew up here in Enterprise and up in the Burl Valley. And Matt Clark is his name. And this train was down on the corner of St. George Boulevard and Main Street in St. George there at the corner of Zions Bank.
Okay.
And there's a little bit of, as you well know, there's a little bit of politics that are involved with the name Dixie in southern Utah and this train being named the Dixie Express.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee you that that's the reason why, but it was asked to leave that area. And Matt called me, it's been probably 5 or 6 weeks ago, and told me about the situation and asked if there was a place to put it here. And I met with my city council, and they were very much in favor of it. And one of the questions that Matt had at the time is he said, this name, that, and I had no clue that the train was named the Dixie Express. But he said one of his concerns was is that that might be a concern coming to our community. When that went to my city council, it was very unanimous without a question that not only do we not change the name, but that we keep that and make sure that that is highlighted with that train, is that it remains the name Dixie Express. And ironically, I was having lunch with some of my council, not my council members, but some of the employees of the city the other day in St. George at Rib and Chop Shop, and I noticed on the wall, they've got one wall down there in their restaurant that just has the name of Dixie, the things representing Dixie, and there's a picture of the Dixie Express train, a great big picture of it sitting on their wall, and I was very impressed that that was there. So hats off to Rib and Chop Shop in St. George for retaining that.
I've got to sneak a commercial break in here, right here, Brandon, but I want to kind of explore that a little bit about us being, I don't know, if you want to call it woke culture or politically correct or whatever you want to call it, and what that is doing to some of our wonderfully historic and just wonderful places in the United States of America. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, 952 on KDXU. Brandon Humphreys from Enterprise City is with me. He's the mayor. Hi, Andy. Hi, Brandon. How you doing?
Very good.
I'm sorry about that. I had the wrong button turned. All right. You doing okay, Brandon?
Really good. Yep, really good this morning.
So a few years ago, Brandon, I went on a cruise out of Galveston, Texas. And, you know, at the time, the climate in the country was, I think, a little worse than it is now. But it was certainly bad as far as, they were tearing down statues and they were making people change the names of things. And so I went on this cruise and it was, I forget the name of the cruise company, but it was a cruise that was welcome to families. Like, there were a lot of families, moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, kids, and I was a little bit and pleasantly surprised at the population of this cruise. You know those big cruise ships hold 3,500 people, and what I found on that cruise ship was not a lot of transsexuals, not a lot of the counterculture people. What I saw were moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, their kids. They were getting together, you know, they were eating dinner together. They were doing activities on the cruise ship together or on the shore, you know, the shore excursions together. And it was a good reminder to me, Brandon, that America, those people, the counterculture people, the woke people scream really loud. And sometimes after hearing that over and over and over again, we start to think, well, the whole country's like that. I was pleasantly surprised in that nobody on that ship was like that. They were all just like you and I. And I guess I would say that about, you know, maybe that's something we all need to keep in mind, right?
I agree with what you just said 100%. The louder those people scream, the bigger they become. And I don't know the exact percentage, but I would say it's 1 to 2% of the country who actually believe that. But they're the loudest screamers, and so they get the public press, they get all of the news media. They're all focused on them, and you're exactly right. I think as Americans and as citizens, we think, oh, there must be a lot of people if the news media is going to cover that.
Yeah.
There must be a lot of people who think that, but I disagree with that. I think I'm with you. I think it's very few, but because they're screaming so loud, they get the biggest media, and they also get a lot of things, the statues being tore down, the names being changed because we're offended by it. I'm just disgusted with that, because the only part of offensiveness that exists is the people who are taking offense to it. And if you ask them, the majority of those people, if they're real honest with you, there's nothing offensive about that. They just look at it as an opportunity for them to get publicity somewhere, some way. And that's the saddest part of it to me, because it's costing us as taxpayers billions of dollars to allow this culture to navigate what they're doing, as well as what it's doing to the historical facts that exist. Whether they were right, wrong, or indifferent, when they happened, and they're part of our history. And if we can't keep that as part of our history and learn from it and not make that mistake again, we're no better than the people who made the mistake in the first place.
And I think that's, you know, something to remember. These people, this past of ours, they made mistakes. They did some horrible things, some of them. They did some things that we don't want to repeat. But when we erase those things, when we make them go away, the chances of us repeating them again are increased. By the way, Brendan, I just got a text. My ancestry roots run deep in Washington County. What was Dixie will always be Dixie in my heart and eyes. I like that text. It's a good text.
Amen. I agree with that 100%. There is nothing about St. George, the Dixie that is attached to St. George, there is nothing about that that can be offensive or should be offensive to anybody who lives there, goes to school there, comes to college there, anything about that. And it made me sick that happened the way it did, particularly the name change of our university there. There was nothing good that was gained by that. In fact, if you look at all of the statistics that exist now, you will find, if the people are honest with you, that was detrimental in every way, shape, and form to the university. If the people are honest with you, that will show today versus what it was before the name change ever happened.
Yeah, I mean, we could really go on all day, but I know I can tell you this. The number one most popular grocery store in the 17 southeastern states in the United States of America, the name of that grocery store is Winn-Dixie. Winn-Dixie.
Sure.
Yeah. Dixie didn't, in my mind, and I grew up in the South, in my mind, it didn't represent that, you know, let's keep slavery and let's hate, you know, let's be racist. It never did represent that. Instead, it represented, like in St. George, kind of a state of mind of, you know, I'm from Dixie. I'm a person who loves other people and welcomes other people, and I'm a kind person. And to have it, I don't know, for lack of a better word, bastardized like what they did to it, it's very troubling.
And there should be no reason why it happened and why it got to that point and why it progressed to the situation that it did. And in my opinion, we have the opportunity to learn from that and not let it happen again, or we can just cave just like some of our politicians did at the time and allow it to happen to every part of our history. And before long, we just become absolutely nothing. There's no history that exists for us.
Yeah. It's almost like if, you know, if you go to Europe and they take away the Crusades, or they take away, you know, I mean, there's a lot of bad Napoleon, you know, or whatever, Genghis Khan, whatever. It happened. It's not like we can make it not happen. We can't go back and make it go away. It happened. Let's learn from them and sit them. So.
I agree 100%.
All right.
Especially as a politician, because you get in politics, and if you can't look back at the mistakes that our previous politicians and the previous history has been made, if you can't learn from that and try and not duplicate those kind of mistakes, again, we're no better than the people who made the mistakes in the first place. In fact, we're way worse because we allowed it to happen a second time.
I hope you all have learned today that Enterprise has a good, sound leader at the helm of their city, Mayor Brandon Humphreys. Mayor, we're out of time. Thanks so much for coming on today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate the time.
We'll talk to you again soon. Brandon Humphreys from Enterprise. Thank you, Mayor. It's 9:59 on KDXU. We got to get to news, and then Clan Buckert coming up. Thanks for listening. We've got open lines for you tomorrow on The Andy Griffin Show.